I'm just about to start my interview with Katie Dove, and the conversation has been set up in relation to her show at the Drawing Room, an exhibition titled A Kind of Bliss. And the first thing I wanted to ask you was about the piece of work that was commissioned by the Drawing Room.
Yeah.
And what the proposal was to you, and then how you responded to it.
Well, they gave me a really open brief, really. They didn't specify at all. They just asked me to make a new animation, and, well, it's called Luna, and I made the soundtrack and the animation for it. And the soundtrack came first, and it was based on sounds that I had recorded when I was on holiday in rural Italy last summer. And it was of me and my friends. We were in the mountains and we recorded a lot of sounds, including ourselves trying to sing choir music and a campfire burning and crickets chirping and things like that. And then the visuals sort of came out of that, I guess. I was listening to them quite a lot when I was making the drawings. I do all the drawings by hand and scan them into the computer and then animate them.
I read that you described the relationship between the sound and the visuals as symbiotic.
I guess one thing always has to come first, but I do see the relationship. I do like the idea of them having equal status, like that one doesn't lead and the other one follows. And so I think once the process begins, what happens is that the sound will start to influence the drawings, but then in turn the drawings will start to influence the way that I'm mixing the sound and developing it on into the actual soundtrack. Yeah, I always like to think of there not being a hierarchy of the sound being more important, or the sometimes one appearing to be more dominant and sometimes the other, but overall the status is quite equal.
One thing that I wanted to ask you about in particular is about the visual pleasure that your work incites. And I wonder if, like, when you're making the work, whether you're aware of that seduction or whether it's just something that is out of your hands.
I think I am aware of it, but it's not necessarily the most important thing. When I was making it, I was always referring back to the experience of recording the sounds in the first place. And because it had been on holiday and we were all in really good spirits, you know, it was a really pleasurable time. And so when I was thinking back to that, I would have these memories of a really good experience. And I think that was all feeding into it as well. Although I think the immediate look of the work is of something very pleasurable and positive, I always see them as having a sort of almost the opposite side as well, as a slightly dark side or something sinister going on underneath. Sometimes people think I'm joking when I say that, but I do, especially with Luna. I think the way that I mixed the sound, and because it was choir music that I was using in the soundtrack, it had this heaviness about it or something a little bit dark going on.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just thinking back, because maybe the forms, they don't dance together sometimes, they kind of scrape each other sometimes.
Yeah.
And there's an awkwardness. Do you think of it as a choreography and when you're putting the work together?
I was thinking a bit about choreography recently, actually, because I went to see a dance performance, Michael Clark, in Glasgow, and, you know, I was just starting to imagine, because it uses these amazing costumes, and I was starting to see a relationship between what I do and what he does, although I hadn't really thought about that before. I am interested in creating a sort of awkwardness as well, as I don't want it to all be perfectly smooth and synchronised all the time. It wouldn't seem real, I think, if I attempted to do that. And sometimes if I overwork a piece, it starts to become like that and I start to feel uncomfortable about it, because it just seems like it's lost that raw edge or something. I quite like being quite spontaneous when I'm working, and I tend to leave the bringing together of all the sort of final decisions until the last minute, and I quite like the sort of energy that that creates when you don't have months to, you know, finish something off, and that it is a process of spontaneous decisions that come about during that final period before a piece finishes. And I think it leaves it with that slight awkwardness or clunkiness, which I quite like.
The process of drawing is obviously spontaneous. Does that translate in the way that you edit? Because obviously in editing, possibly it's like you can rub out. Because you work in a permanent felt tip pens that you can't, once you've made the mark, it's there.
Yeah.
But I suppose then you can rub out when you edit.
It's something that I think a lot about, actually, like the actual process of making art on the computer and how that feels and exactly what's going on when you are working within this sort of set of rules. It does lose a certain spontaneity about it in one sense, but I think that you can still be spontaneous on the computer. You just know where the parameters are. I guess they're not as wide as when you're maybe working in other media. I think the way that I managed to keep that whole thing open is I tend to have a lot of ideas on the go all at once, and I use this program called After Effects, and it's a bit like Photoshop but with a timeline, and so you can build things up in layers, and so quite often I have just like loads and loads of layers with different things going on, and then it's just a matter of trying out different combinations and moving things about and making things longer, shorter, turning things on and off. And so usually, you know, it's only a very small amount of anything that I'm working on that makes it into the sort of final edit, and so I guess just having all those things on the go allows an amount of spontaneity.
Do you ever show a drawing just as still?
Yeah, sometimes I've shown like the original drawings from the animations in a gallery space, but I guess having developed them on so much from that stage, I sometimes feel like now they're not enough on their own, but I think it is interesting maybe for other people to be able to see, you know, where it all came from. Because, I mean, the drawings are very small and quite subtle or quiet things. And then when you see the animation, you know, it's quite often projected up big, and because of the addition of the sound and the movement and different effects that I use, it takes on a whole new dimension. So, and I guess also because when I'm making the drawings, I don't really see them as being the finished thing. I'm not worrying too much about whether they work as a composition, because I know I can take elements out of one drawing and elements out of another and then bring them together on the computer. So quite often the original drawings don't necessarily work compositionally by themselves.
So do you think that's why you can have an automatic process to the way that you draw, quite unselfconscious?
Yeah, I do a lot of drawings at the beginning when I start making a new animation, and I always call them automatic drawings, and although sometimes I'm kind of half thinking of the soundtrack that I might use, often I'm also just maybe trying not to think of anything or trying to make something without forethought as a way of kind of accessing the imagination, I suppose. And yeah, throughout that period of drawing, maybe only a tiny percentage will make it in to the finished animation. But at the beginning, I like to have as many options open as possible, I guess, and so I don't pare it all down until quite late on in the game.
I wonder if you could talk about the hypnotic kind of, that's a word that's been used, or kind of mesmerising or dreamlike. It seems to me they may be like controlled dreams. Mm. They are dreams, but they've got an agenda.
I am really interested in dreams, and I used to quite often keep a dream diary and write things down, but then I realised that I wasn't really interested in interpreting them in a literal way. But quite often when I'm lying in bed, either just falling asleep or waking up, I'll think a lot about what I'm working on creatively, and often it's a time, you know, when you're not really trying very hard to come up with anything specific, but things are just sort of drifting through your mind. That's quite often a time when I'll maybe get an idea for something new. But I quite often see the animations as, like, especially Luna, I think I did see that being like a dream sequence. I quite often impose time structures on them. Like, although Luna was about just under 3 minutes, I sort of saw it as being like a 12-hour sequence from dusk till dawn, in a way. So yeah, the one before that, that was, I thought of that as being a 24-hour sequence, so it sort of started with the dawn, and then it was the day, and then it got dark, and then it was the night time.
Well, I was thinking in relation to maybe the felt tip pen, or the relationship between the felt tip pen and the computer, and this very kind of low-tech and high-tech methods and kind of basic means of making an image, and then a historically more sophisticated one.
Yeah.
Or is it something that you were aware of in the choice of materials at the beginning, or is it something that you enjoy or promote, I suppose?
I think the main reason that I like to use materials like felt tip and watercolour and ink is because they're very spontaneous, and when I'm making the drawings I don't like them to be too laboured, because I think if I was to labour on them for too long they would sort of lose something of that spontaneity that I'm trying to get. So I think that's probably my main reason for using materials like that. I don't spend too long on any one drawing. But then I also like the contrast between the sort of handcrafted image and the computer animation. I like the sort of marrying of the kind of old and the new.